First Samuel chapter 17, very well-known record to everybody about David and Goliath. I wanted to look at the topic today of living without fear. First Samuel chapter 17, living without fear. Fear is always an option. It's always lurking around every corner, as we all know, and it's always a temptation. Fortunately, living without fear is also always an option. When I'm talking about fear, I'm not talking about biochemical fear, which is a blessing. It has saved people's lives. You see a car, you jump out of the way. But the emotional fear, that kind of fear. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. The Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side and Israel on the other, on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Sounds pretty formidable, description of this man. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto him, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me. Then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. A lot of fear, greatly, greatly dismayed. So fear is clearly present in the situation. This is not unlike any other, you know, situation we might encompass or encounter. Well, we know David, let's jump down to verse 32 in this record. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail, which was what happens when you're afraid. Because of him, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you're but young youth, and he a man of war from his youth. He's forgotten more about war than you've ever learned in your life. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. It sounds like David is saying, look what I did. I can do this. I'm David. Don't you know why? I got rid of this bear and this lion. I can handle this. It sounds like reckless abandon, but it's not. Right? Verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the... See, he wasn't attributing his success in those previous situations. Look what I can do. I can handle any situation. You know, let evil come at me. I can do this. He wasn't doing that. He said, God delivered me. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Down to verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host, give the carcass of the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, which is common thinking when people face fearful situations. I can handle this with my ability, but the battle for the Lord, battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This is really the basic and foundational key to living without fear. It is to recognize who God is. It's to recognize that the battle is God's and not ours. I mean, we can be as bold and brave and all that kind of stuff as we want to be, but that can never compare to God. And David wasn't trying to say, look at who I am. I mean, if you know much about David's life later and later on, what do you say? Who am I that, you know, you'd even do anything for me? He didn't have a high opinion of himself, you know, like that false bravado that a lot of people might have, you know, evil can't get to me. I can handle. No, you can't. You cannot handle it. But God can. And that's the key to living a life without fear in Proverbs chapter 3. Psalms, Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You know, and this whole section is about very much about that very, very simple truth. You know, let thine heart keep my commandments. Know what my word says and just keep it. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Keeping God's word in your heart leads to length of days, long life, and peace, which is very, that's not a, you know, a solution the doctor has ever told me. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Verse 3. Bind them about thy neck. The whole thing is about the word of God. What's mercy and truth? It's God's word. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of, some of the beautiful imagery here. Writing this upon the table of your heart. Scriptures and what the word of God says and the mercy and the grace of God and all that. Just so wonderful. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And, you know, he says it a bunch of different ways here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So trust him and don't lean and have great confidence in your ability and to handle situations and the things that you know. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Is another way of saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, isn't it? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In case verses 5 and 6 aren't enough, be not wise in thine own eyes. What does that mean? It means don't lean on your own understanding. You know, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Be not wise in thine own eyes, which is a common, you know, what David wasn't in that situation, was he? He didn't say, I can handle this, I'm David. Well, he said, you're young. Even physically speaking, you know, Saul picked out the fact that he was small. He didn't know anything about war. He didn't have any understanding to rely on. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't go near evil. And again, look at the blessings. It shall be health to thy navel. Just doing all of this stuff gives health to your navel and marrow to thy bones, or freshness to your life. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shalt thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, to give to him of all that God blesses us. And look what God does back. That's not our own understanding. That's nobody's understanding. That's totally contrary to anybody's understanding. But that's what it says. It's context. Put my word in your heart. Don't forget it. Don't forget. Just put it in your heart. And look at all the blessings it leads to. Verse 11. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father doth the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. What wisdom? What understanding? The scriptures, the word of God, right? In context. For thy merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Man, what amazingly simple truths, but what kind of power it brings to you. You know, and no, it's interesting, knowing these things is one thing, but doing them is a whole other thing. I know the wisdom of, but do I take the time to actually hide it in my heart? Do I do the things that God is encouraging me here to do? Or do I just think about it in my mind? Oh, wouldn't it be great? I know it's great. It's wonderful. I'll get to it. Verse 16, length of days is in her hand, right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Again, the same as verse 1, forget not mine law, let thine heart keep my commandments. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall there be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then, after you've done this, after you've taken the time to trust in him, not yourself, to put the wisdom of God in your heart, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. It's an outcropping of putting God's word and wisdom in our lives, that you will not be afraid. You want to live without fear? Then put the word of God into your heart and learn to trust him more than your own ability, more than our own abilities. Then shalt thou not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. That sounds good. Could handle that. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord, who shall be thy confidence? Is it you've developed this great ability? No, you've just learned to trust him. The Lord shall be thy confidence. Isn't that exactly what David was doing? You know, Israel was all but wetting themselves, right? And he comes in and says, wait a minute, he's defied God. And shall keep thy foot from being taken. God is thy confidence. He's the one that delivered me from the hand of the bear and the lion. He's the one that's going to deal with this situation. And here God just says, well, put my word into your heart. Learn what I've said to you. Trust me, not yourself. And you will not be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. In Psalm 91, freedom from fear is not rooted in man's wisdom, but it's rooted in the wisdom of God. And many of the fears that, you know, we can get into or people can get into result from spending a lot of time on our own wisdom, man's wisdom. You know, whatever fear it is, I don't care if it's disease or, you know, or famine or whatever it happens to be, fear of whatever, it generally tends to result when we spend a lot of time concentrating on our own wisdom of situations and not what God's word says. Either what we're reading here is true or it's not. It's that simple. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that's a wonderful, wonderful mind picture, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So here it starts off, the psalm starts off by talking about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Exactly, Proverbs chapter 3. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Again, same as Proverbs 3. He says, hide my word in your heart, and you won't be afraid. And here it says, his truth is the one that protects you. It's the shield and buckler is the truth and the wisdom of God. Thou shalt, verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid. When shalt thou not be afraid? Not forgetting verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Thou shalt not be afraid when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, when we say God is our refuge and trust Him. Then thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Living in Him, trusting Him. Then you're not afraid. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Wonderful prophecy of the Lord. In Psalm 23, here's a psalm no one's heard before. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, these you were praying about God leading us into wonderful green pastures. Well, he's our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why shall I not want? Because the Lord's my shepherd. Not because I'm so great, I can do all this. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. It's funny, every time it talks about he in here, talks about all the blessings. Every time it talks about I here, talks about all the problems. I shall not want. Then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Oh, darn it. Whenever the emphasis is on the I, it's not good. The emphasis on he is really good. Right? I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, it's a wonderful psalm because the mind picture is pretty good, right? Because it's talking about sheep, right? Sheep. And here it talks about the sheep. Why would the sheep not be afraid? Because the shepherd had a rod and a staff. You know, you can't imagine. I mean, even your, you know, vivid visions you can possibly think of, I can't see a sheep fighting off a wolf. I doubt the Jerusalem Gazette ever said things like ravenous sheep, you know, fights off wolf or something like that. It's an interesting mind picture because sheep, they're sheep. There's really, what's a sheep's defense? They don't have a defense, do they? Except for the shepherd. It's kind of our situation, isn't it? I mean, why would I think that I would have any ability when I've got the shepherd? Why would I do that? Why would I trust myself more ever? Thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, all the things that surround, all the evil that's around, and God says that, you know, I'm going to give you a nice meal here. You sit here and enjoy with all the enemies around. What a great mind picture. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wherever the emphasis is on him and all the things he does, all these great blessings, all the emphasis on us, we get in trouble, We have want and we get into fear. But the emphasis on him delivers us from that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it wasn't some kind of reckless, you know, courage. Sheep can have no such thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, it's kind of interesting that God chooses sheep for that mind picture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. See, it's a common theme that God would have us to understand. Just like David, just like the sheep, just like Psalm 91. Not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. In Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, the master of living without fear, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4. And verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, I read this record sometimes, and I think you kind of forget that at this time, Jesus Christ, he was a human being. He was a man. He wasn't a spiritual being as he is now. He's a man. He was a man. And this is a confrontation with the devil himself. Maybe you tend to forget that. Like, this is a really, really wonderful opportunity for Jesus Christ to be afraid. Because it's the devil himself. It doesn't get any more evil than this. This is it. Anything you ever feared or imagined your life to be evil or bad or scary or frightening, this is worse than all of that. The devil himself. And he comes to Jesus Christ. Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he had afterward hungered. He was hungry. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And if anybody could have done the, I can handle this because I am the Son of God, it would be Jesus Christ. Is there anybody else who had more ability, more trust in God than him? For him to say, yeah, I got, you know, I'll kick you, I'll kick your ass, you know, you're what does he say? It is written, verse 4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. He responds with scripture. Now, if you think of Proverbs chapter 3, what had God written? Trust me. Put my word into your heart, then you're not going to be afraid. Trust me. Don't trust in your ability, yourself. Trust me. What does Jesus Christ do? He quotes scripture. You know, it's a really interesting record. It is written, thou man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I trust God. I trust God's wisdom. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain. How did he do this? I don't know. It doesn't tell you. He taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. And most men would bow right away at that. Do we even understand what he was being offered here? This is evil. This is, doesn't get any worse. This is, and the, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Verse 7, if thou wilt, therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for look at me, I am the Son of God, I can do whatever. No, for it is written. He committed himself into the care of his Father and his Word. That's what he did. I trust my Father, I trust him. I live under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, it is written. My Father says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Notice he didn't say you should worship me, for I worship myself. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I trust my father. And he brought him unto the verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Again, I don't know how he did this, but he certainly did. There's evil happening here. It's an attempt to put Jesus in fear, to crush him, and to destroy the plan of salvation. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. Do you think Jesus might have had temptation to fear that maybe the devil will cast me down from thence? I don't know. He's all evil. He does evil things. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. We just read that in Psalm 91. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, or it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Man, it is a powerful record of how to live a life without fear. Because I assure you, there is nobody that can cause greater fear in your life than the devil himself. And he did what he knew to do in this situation. And Jesus Christ just responded with Proverbs chapter 3, right down the line. He knew God's wisdom. He had hidden it in his heart, and he just spoke it with believing. And guess what? Devil left him for a while. In Ephesians chapter 1, living without fear. Ephesians chapter 1. We just read about him as a man. Well, let's read about him briefly when he's no longer just a man. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, talking about God's power, to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. So now he's no longer the man that we just read about in Luke chapter 4. He raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, in case that wasn't enough, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. They were not under his feet in Luke chapter 4. And he trusted his Father. They are now, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Our Lord is over anything that could possibly cause you fear in your life. He's over all of it. There's nothing that can be named. And we know from Philippians, of his name, every knee shall bow. You know, one of the things people are always afraid of is death, right? I guess you can't really get worse than the fear of death. That's the final thing. And yet the Word of God says that he abolished him, he destroyed him, that we would no longer be under the fear of death. He abolished him, the power of death, which is the adversary. He got rid of that. He destroyed him. So there's no reason to even be afraid of that. Right? He's above all. He's above everything. So if it's something you can think of that might cause you to fear, guess what? Jesus Christ is above that. And he's our Lord. And we're part of that body. And he's the head. And do you think we have a bit more to be blessed about than David ever had? And yet David was able to stare down Goliath because he trusted in his God. How about us? We have God, the Almighty, on our side. And we have the Lord who is above all of that stuff. He's above it all. In Romans chapter 8, to close off, he triumphed over all the things, all the principalities and powers and all those stupid birds that could ever cause any trouble to anybody. He triumphed over them in it. That's our Lord. Living without fear. 8:31. You guys know this section well. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can ever be against us? What can ever cause us to fear? What is it that can ever be possibly against us that is greater than God Almighty? And now, today, our wonderful Lord and Savior, who is the head of the body. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Can anybody ever accuse you about anything when God is on your side? God that justified, he wouldn't do it. Who condemns you? Christ that died, he wouldn't do it. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? Well, would he ever accuse us? He's doing the opposite. He's making interceding. He's our mediator. He's our Lord. He wouldn't do that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, all the pressures, again, a lot of the words that are used here are very broad words. It basically covers everything. Tribulation. Well, what causes tribulation? A lot of things cause tribulation. Is any kind of pressure or evil? It's a very broad statement. So anything that could possibly cause tribulation or distress, which is any kind of anguish or difficulty. Well, there's another broad statement. I'm sure we can all come up with a list of things that might cause us anguish or difficulty. Or persecution, again, pursued by enemies or anything. Very broad in scope here. Or famine, any kind of physical dearth. Food is a good example. Any of that kind of stuff. Or nakedness, want of any kind, cold, and remember Paul writing, cold and nakedness, any kind of want that you might have in life, or peril or sword, any danger, risk, or hazard in life. Again, a very broad covering of everything. So God's doing a really, really hard job here, right? He's kind of covering everything. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Well, we know from Psalm 23, he's our shepherd. We're not accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We just read it. I mean, the sheep there have no reason to fear, no reason to be afraid. It wasn't like the shepherd was delivering them to the slaughter. He was protecting them. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Nay, in all these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, it's through him. It's got to be through him. And that's what David said. Yeah, I was able to handle the bear and the lion, but he delivered me out of their hand. And he's the one who's going to deliver me out of your hand. In Psalm 91, it was because you live under his shadow. Trust him. Then all these things, then there's no reason to be afraid. Proverbs 3, it was because we put God's word, and we have to do that. We have to put that in our mind and our heart, or with the wisdom of God. Then don't be afraid of certain fear. There's no reason to ever be afraid. Then you will not be afraid. He will keep thy foot, for he is thy confidence. He'll keep thy foot from being taken. It's then that happens. So through him that loved us, it's because of him and all that's been accomplished for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ here. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, we just read, nor powers, because he's over them all. We just read in Ephesians, God set him over all that stuff. So they can't do anything. They can't harm you. They can try to make you afraid, but they can't get to you. If we trust in God and his word, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing could ever come your way. Nothing that's here now, or nothing that could ever come your way. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything in creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, it's not our own wisdom, our own ability, or reckless courage, or anything like that. To live without fear is to trust in the living God that created the heaven and the earth. It's to recognize that It's the wisdom of God. God's wisdom. He used it to make the earth. It's his wisdom that Jesus Christ used to turn back the devil himself. To not be, he could have had a bunch of temptations to be afraid in that situation, but he chose to trust in the wisdom of his Father God. And that really is the basis for learning to live without fear, is to trust in the Almighty God and his wisdom. There.